All right, praise the Lord. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 82. Psalm 82.
Appreciate those who are joining online as well. Isn't it wonderful? We have a worldwide pandemic, and everyone's trying to shut churches down, and you can't meet. But your pastor's saying, "No, we'll do it, even if I get COVID." Good for him, brother. But then we have these new technologies, so that you can listen live, you can be somewhere. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I was ill and down, and was able to just tune in to my church service, other church services, and so that was a blessing. I usually didn't do anything like that until that time. So praise the Lord. I did talk to Pastor Canada a couple times this week, and he sounds very strong. And he said these couple days he's gotten up and felt really good. And so praise the Lord. This was just really the last day of his quarantine was today. And so he said, "Tell everybody I'm coming back. I'll be back Wednesday." And so I don't know if you're a regular Wednesday attender, but come and encourage your pastor and come and listen to him preach and pray. And then don't forget giving as well. Amen. Tithes and offerings aren't just an Old Testament thing. They're mentioned in the New Testament. They're not just a thing of the law. They existed before the law. And tithe is a tenth. And if you're not giving tithes and offerings, well, you're robbing God. So give your tenth, give your tithes as your first fruit, and then find something else to give. Find something else to give to. Give your offerings or whatever. Give to missionaries. I have a son going to Dearborn. Give to him. He's got three kids. We kept them this week as they were down in Atlanta doing some missions work. And what a joy to have our grandkids, and what a joy to have them come back and get the grandkids. That was great as well. Well, Pastor Kennedy said, "Preach on prophecy, preacher, preach on prophecy." And so I guess that's a little bit of my one string on my banjo that I can do. Last week, remember, we read Leviticus 23. That seems the most boring stuff to read, you know, back in Leviticus. But we see that God, before the creation of the world, had a plan, and the plan was going to work using time and the cycles of time that he created: a day, a week, a month, a year, and then a week of years, and then a jubilee, you know, many weeks of years. And so God is working basically in his own time and space. He created the heavens. The word is shamayim, it's plural. He created the heavens that we think of as a heaven, which is a realm of light, and in it is no darkness at all. He created the shamayim, the realm of the dark underworld, Hades, hell, which is a place of darkness, right? Total darkness, no light whatsoever. And he created the earth, the realm of the earth. We've sent spaceships and telescopes, and we've looked out as far as we can look out, and you know what we find? Nothing. Rocks. Gases. And so this whole universe was created for the earth. The earth is the center stage. All right, I know we go around the sun, I understand that, but it's all about the earth, not about the sun. The earth was created, and the sun, the moon, and the stars were created to give the earth light. So we have a realm of light, and we have a realm of darkness, and we have the realm of earth, which has both light and darkness. God created it that way. It's a place of choice. You could choose light or you could choose dark. Amen? And so here we are. But we're only here for a season before we go to a place of light or a place of darkness forever, for eternity. Our souls don't just go to sleep. They don't just dissipate into dust. God working his timeline, God working his plan today, you know, on the world stage is just God working his timeline, God working his plan today, you know, on the world stage is just God working his timeline, God working his plan today. You know, on the world stage is just God working his timeline, God working his plan. You know, on the world stage is just God working his timeline, God working his plan. You know, on the world stage is just God working his timeline, God working his plan. And you know, on the world stage is just God working his timeline, God working his plan. And you know, on the world stage is just God working his timeline, God working his plan. And you know, on the world stage is just God working his timeline, God working his plan. And you know, on the world stage is just God working his timeline, God working his plan. And you know, the devil and the fallen angels and even the angels, they don't know everything. They don't know everything on how it all works. They understand some things. They understand what they're seeing, whereas sometimes we don't understand what we're seeing. So they're privileged. The Bible says right now we are a little lower than the angels. They're created beings. We're created beings by God for his service. We have choice. Apparently they have choice because some of them made the wrong choice. I think their choice was not just rebellion against God, what was rebellion against God's plan, against us in this church right now, God saving us and redeeming us. Because while they could be righteous serving creatures, they could never be what God had planned for us to be, and that is blood-bought children. And they knew that someday, even though we were made a little lower than them, that someday we would sit a little bit higher than them. And the ones that are loyal recognize that and accept that, and the ones that have rejected God reject that. And, you know, I'm not sympathetic to the devils, to the demons, but, you know, they probably looked down and saw our mediocrity in loving and serving God. Think about some devil accusing the brethren. That's what the Bible says they do. And they're accusing the brethren before God saying, look at them, look at them, look at them, look at that church. God redeemed them and they still live like that and walk like that and talk like that. You know, and so they didn't like that plan. They didn't think that was what, so what did they do? They rebelled. Now, what a twist and turn, you know, of things. At the same time, they envied us. They're going to be the children of God. And we're just going to be what we are. And so that message got preached by Lucifer to the devils. And that's why they were fallen. And they think they're playing a chess match with God on the timelines. They think they're playing a chess match with God on the timelines. You ever seen chess be played by professionals? They make the move, they hit the clock, they write down their move, and then they study it, right? And so these cycles of time are practices. And the devils are practicing as well. And they're trying to, because they want to get down to the end and they want to make a move that stops God. If they can just make one word of scripture obsolete, if they can change just one aspect of scripture, or one thing that God said is true and right, if they can just subtly, slyly move one thing, that's why the Bible says that the Antichrist is going to try to change times and seasons. See? It's why right now it is tyrannical to try to shut everything down, even Christmas and Easter and churches and Sundays. Why? Because they're trying to alter the seasons. They were trying to change the way that God set it up. And evil is always going to kind of work that way. It's always going to go back to the lies of the devil in the garden, where he says, "Ye shall not die, ye shall be as gods." Right? And that's the lie that's involved in every single sin today. How about abortion? Women's rights. I have a right over my body. No, 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 no. You see, virginity is mentioned in the Bible. It's not mentioned by the world because the womb is holy unto God, especially the firstborn that opens the womb. And so, ladies, you are to serve God with your womb. Virginity is a precious thing. It's not necessarily just have to do with sexuality. It has to do with serving God. Remember, Mary made herself available. And God saw that she was a virgin and she understood that womb. Remember Rebecca, the Bible says that she was fair to look upon. She was a virgin. No man had known her. She walked and carried herself in such a way that everybody knew what she was. And she knew what she was. And she waited with that holiness. She gave her body and womb to God. And she waited for that time where God would see her and God would place her in the servant's eye so that she would perform in the right time and place, so that then she would be taken to Isaac, jump off that camel, run into that tent, and Isaac would love her, and they would be one. And the camera goes upward, and the music starts, and the credit rolls. And every lady can have that if they'll believe that there's liberty in Christ and not liberty in quote-unquote women's rights. So see, the devil, and when a woman thinks that, my body is my choice, and my womb is my choice, you know what they're saying? I shall be as God. Because that womb is a thing of God. We could turn that around the same way with men. These devils have lied to men, haven't they? Made men believe that they're God. Right? And that they're going to control everything. And so today I want to talk to you about angels. And prophetically, I want to talk to you about angels have a future. Just like we have a future. Angels are involved in prophecy. Just like we are involved in these cycles, these practices, and these prophecies. And we are intertwined with angels in these things. The Bible says that you, if you're saved, have a guardian angel. There's been an angel that's assigned watching over you. They're serving God. They're not serving you. Amen? You're not to talk to your angel or pray to your angel or necessarily even pray for your angel. A loyal angel serving God will never allow themselves to be worshiped or feared. They will say, get up, don't worship me, worship God. That's what they will say. And they don't want you to necessarily know their name or know about them. They want you to trust God and know that they're there, and they want to serve God by guarding you. They're not just guarding you from a guy robbing you. Although they might. That would be cool. Amen. A guy tries to rob me and all of a sudden he's flipped upside down and, you know, or maybe I'm strong enough to fend him off. That's even better. You know, and angels watching over you. But angels are watching over you, and that they're right now here and they're helping you to turn off the volume of your life and the world, and they're helping you to tune in to the voice of God in Scripture and the mystery of preaching. See, I realize that while I'm up here doing my best to hold your attention, you know, Dan doing whatever I need to do to really communicate, the fact of the matter is, this is a God thing. And so I get double blessed. I get triple blessed. A pastor will tell you he gets double blessed. He gets triple blessed. And so I want you to understand the ethereal spiritual realm that God has created, the heavens, the different heavens, but also how it works here as well. Paul said, I knew a man some years ago that had been to heaven. People think Paul's talking about himself there. He goes, and I don't know if I was in the spirit or not. I don't know if it was, but he had this experience. God gave him a thorn in the flesh so that he wouldn't get prideful, that he had this special understanding and this special spiritual experience, and he had to be kept humble, and so he had some thorn in the flesh that kind of kept him low and kept him humble, because otherwise he would have been so, you know, just walking on cloud nine all the time. But we get to Psalm 82, and this is an amazing psalm. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. The Shaddai, right? And they call them as angels of light that masquerade as gods, and they're in the world today, right? And they call them as angels of light that masquerade as gods, and they're in the world today, right? And they call themselves as angels of light that masquerade as gods, and they're in the world today, right? And they call themselves this angels of light that masquerade as gods, and they're in the world today, right? And they call themselves this and call themselves that. But God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, he judgeth among the gods. Now here's the conversation that God is speaking to them. How long will you judge unjustly? You see, he had given them some authority to be watchers, to be witnesses, to be involved in life of man. And he says, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? There's the word Selah. It means think about it. Angels weren't doing their job. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, this is God speaking, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. I believe he's talking about Lucifer there, a prince angel. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit the nations. You know how there's a prince of Persia, a principality, an angelic power, and there's angelic powers over the nations as well, the tribes and languages of the earth. And they're supposed to be serving God, but somehow, some way, they started serving themselves. They looked down and they wanted what man was. And they thought that they could come down and be exalted and rule man like God would rule man. And so God is, in this psalm, it's a song about God amidst the Elohim. The word in the Hebrew is B'nai Elohim, the sons of God. And so when Satan comes to Eve and says, ye shall be as gods, he wants them to believe in that rebellion. that I'm going to be the chief God and you're going to be a God and you're going to be like me. But what he's really doing is he's not telling a whole lie, he's telling a half lie. You see, God always intended us not to just live on earth, but for us to be blood children and for us to rule and reign for him in heaven, in the heavenly realm. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you, right? So these are two different gospels in the scriptures. Coming along, the devil's saying, ye shall be as gods, but come on my side and work with me. And when ultimately, we shall be above these B'nai Elohim. We shall be above them. So you realize from their perspective, and sometimes the world keeps us from understanding the spiritual ethereal realm that we're really in and how we're made. But truly, God has made you a spirit. You have a body, but inside your body is your soul, right? If you were to get in an accident, lose a leg, lose your visage, you'd still be you, right? You'd still have your mind. You'd still have your heart, your emotions, and you'd still have your will. You'd still be you. That's your soul. And that soul is eternal. It's everlasting. God made it to be everlasting life or everlasting death. But the Bible says you're a spirit. You see, you're dead in trespasses and sin. The place inside of your soul where the throne is your spirit. But it's black, it's empty, you're dead in trespasses and sin until you're saved and the Holy Spirit comes in and he quickens you, he brightens you, he enlivens you, he makes you alive in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, the Bible says. And the Spirit will come in forever and will be a seal upon your soul. And God will wash you in his own blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. And though you know entirely what you are, God says, I'm going to love you anyways. And I'm going to seal you. I'm going to wash you. I'm going to atone you. And you're going to be alive. And I see that flicker of myself, my light, the Holy Spirit in you. And that is the seal of your redemption. And so, beloved, I want you to know when the body is no more, the soul continues in the realm of light or in the realm of darkness. Because the realm of earth someday is going to be burnt up and altogether gone. And how do you meet that transition? You meet it because your spirit is alive. Sister Patterson, thank you for the Arabic Bible. Her husband was a preacher, but he passed on. And she told me today, well, he's happy. She knows that she didn't just marry a body, she married a soul and a spirit. And together they love God and serve God. Hallelujah, that's how it's supposed to be. And so he's still alive. Amen, he's still alive. And he's in spirit. And so, beloved, you are. The Bible tells you to be fervent in spirit. We know our bodies, right? I got up at 4 this morning and my arthritis kicking in. And I paced a little bit and I took some Tylenol and I heated up those things you microwave and, put down on my hip and I rubbed some cream on it. I know my body. It tells me, you're human, you're flesh. I know my body. I know my soul because I know what I think and I know what I feel and I know what I want. I know my soul. But most of us are not mighty in spirit. The Bible says you're to be mighty in spirit. Be strong in the spirit. We got to know our spiritual man and exercise our spiritual man. That's what we're doing right now. You see, you're making your body sit there and you're holding your soul in place and saying, pay attention, man. And hear it. Some of it hurts, but listen to it. And your spirit then is that flame is growing up and you're becoming mighty and fervent in spirit. Amen? I mean, that's a sermon all by itself. We could say, hey, we're done. And now you're saying, preacher, that would be good. Let's be done. But God created these angels. He created these B'nai Elohim. I think even maybe before us, because they were the witnesses of his creation. He made them to be witnesses of his creation and to watch over his creation. They understand these cycles of time within the creation that is earth for man. And they were supposed to kind of guide and witness Job chapter 38. I marked it in my Bible. I'll read it to you. Verses 4 through 7. Listen to this. For truly my word shall not be false. That's 36. I'm 38. Here we go. The Lord answers Job out of the whirlwind. Verse 4, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof if thou knowest? Or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, the B'nai Elohim, the sons of God. We have angels and we have archangels. We just sang, we have seraphim and we have cherubim. Some are given the light of morning stars. And Revelation promises that those of us that overcome, we're giving the light of morning stars. Daniel said, if we win souls, we're given the light of morning stars. And so these are the B'nai Elohim that these guys are telling Job about. Job, you don't know everything. Where were you when these guys witnessed that? They know. And I think he was probably saying, Job, listen, what's happening in your life is the ethereal coming into your life. You're experiencing pain and suffering and loss, but we're doing spiritual battle here. We're showing the devil what a saved man, what a redeemed man. What did Job say? Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Why? Because I'll serve him in soul. I'll serve him in spirit. I'll serve him forever. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And so that's spiritual battle. Why do things happen in your life? Because there's spiritual battle going on. Amen? There's spiritual battle. Sometimes you know, the devil will say, well, that happened in your life because you sinned. Well, that's true sometimes. The wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood, right? Sometimes you ask for it. But, you know, sometimes what's going on in your life is meant to strengthen you. It's like spiritual boot camp. You got to endure crawling through the mud sometimes and show what you're made of. And so there's a picture of the B'nai Elohim again. You go back to Genesis chapter 6. This is kind of a controversial passage, but I believe that it is what it is, if I can get there. Genesis chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. And it says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, B'nai Elohim, I believe these are angels, saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now some say they would have possessed men because they were fallen. In Psalm 82, God says, you're going to die as men. Revelation says they're all going to be kicked out of heaven to come to earth. And the best thing they can do is possess a pig or possess a man, right? Because they want to rule and reign. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Isn't that interesting? Why is God's spirit striving with man? Because these fallen spirits have possessed men to strive against God. You get that? That's why when we sing, when peace like a river, we've got peace with God. We're at peace with God. We're not striving with God. What God says is true, right? Let man be a liar, the Bible says. So we take this as absolute. He says, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And they're saying that, you know, now man's not going to live 600, 800, 900 years. He's only going to live 120 years. And I've met some people that were up there. You ever met someone that was 115 years old, 110 years old? I don't get that. That's amazing to me. And yet that happens. Some people say that means. Other people say this is yet another cycle. Because if you were to take a jubilee, which, what is a jubilee? It's a cycle of time. What cycle of time? Well, it's 50 years. It's weeks of years, right? A week is a seven, and then a jubilee is this conglomeration of time, 50 years. And if you take 120 jubilees, groups of weeks of years, you get 6,000 years. It says, though God was saying, man gets 6,000 years. Where are we in time? We're about 6,000 years. We're about 6,000 years. So God, from his perspective, can see it all at once. He knows the end from the beginning, the Bible says. I don't believe the angels get all of that vision because they don't know it all. They're not omniscient. But I believe they have a perspective where they are understanding the cycles. Maybe they're working the machinery of it, you know, God's machinations of how the time works, and they're supposed to do it. But Psalm 82 said some of them didn't do it. Some of them got jealous. Some of them got angry. Some of them got envious. Some of them wanted to have what we had. Some of them wanted to be like the Most High God, right, Isaiah? And by the way, if I were to come in here and I were try to get all of you to be unified to do something, it would be very difficult. You know why? Because you're individuals. You'd say, yeah, I like about 70% of what Brother Levesque says, but I'm not sure I'm really going to go for it all 100%. Right? And we're all children of God. We're supposed to agree on stuff, but that would never happen. That doesn't happen with angels either. Not every angel just loves Lucifer and follows Lucifer. The angels are just as confused as the Democrats. The demons are just as fallen as the Democrats, right? We're not saying bad about the Republicans, but that's easy too, right? So he created these angels for his own plan and pleasure. They're a different species than us. They're alien to us. It's interesting how we've worked into society the science fiction of aliens or alien life, or we came from aliens, or the aliens seeded the earth, etc. And the fact of the matter is they were here to watch it. They were here to participate in it. They were here to watch over it. They're supposed to be as witnesses or as a jury to his creation. And of course, every time we see the birth, the resurrection, angels are there. They're watching it. They're declaring it by the mouth of one or two witnesses, right? Or two or three witnesses, let all facts be established. And so God's got these heavenly things. It says, yes, Christ is Christ. Christ was born a man. Christ lived perfectly. Christ died. Christ rose again. Christ is coming back. Hallelujah. And so the angels are witness to this and they're jury to this. And that's part of their jobs. And so part of what they're doing to us is witnessing to us. And part of what they're doing for us is pushing us into God's plan so that we're part of that. And so they're participants in the earthly story. I go back to Psalm, and this time Psalm 89. And I got a bunch of scriptures and I tried to mark them, but just kind of go with me here. Psalm 89. Verse 5, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord. What's that talking about? The Shamayim. By the way, God is king over every single realm. Okay? God is king over every single realm. There's battle of dark and light going on in this realm, and the devil's been given allowance, so to speak, for the principle of time, but he knows that his time is short, the Bible says. So he's raging. Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? See, the Lord is the Most High God. He's the Most High Elohim. He sits at the end of the table. These people aren't co-gods. Okay? They're not co-gods. They're created beings. And they know it. Right? And they fear when Jesus is there. Oh, Jesus, please don't do this to us. They know what's going on. And who can be like, who among the sons of the mighty? And that's B'nai Shaddai. Okay, these sons of the mighty as they're born. Can be likened unto the Lord? So any angel or demon, however they portray themselves, are just a spit in a fire compared to what God is. Hallelujah. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is strong, who is a strong Lord like unto thee or to thy faithfulness round thee about. And then it talks about how thou rulest. Amen. So these guys these angels are participants in the earthly story. They're loyal messengers or they're demoniacs, fallen. And Psalm 82 is actually God talking to these fallen ones, and he's correcting them here in our text, right? How long will you judge unjustly? I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. You're going to fall like Lucifer, and you're all going to die like men because that's what you think you want, because you think you could subvert me. Isn't that interesting, all this stuff going on? And yet God still loves you. God's got all these mighty things happening, and yet God loves you and knows you, cares for you, has his own personal spirit within you, died for you. You see, these angels don't get redemption. We do. They might not think that's fair. That might be part of the rebellion, but we get redemption. I'll tell you what, I don't know if you want to jot this down, but Matthew 4:11, Matthew 13:39, Matthew 25:41, Revelation 12:9, we'll probably go to one of those. It's all about the interaction of angels with men. They're real. God created angels. Number two, the heavenly angels are included in his number one household. So God's a king, isn't he? Everything's ascribed to a kingdom. Think about the mirror of kingdoms on the earth. Let's say, brother, that you are a king in your own right, and you have a kingdom, and you have your queen. And let's say that we are part of the king's household. You are the king's regent, you're the king's treasurer, you're the king's knight, and you command his armies, and you take care of the king's food, and you're the cupbearer for the king, and you're the king's crier, you go tell what needs to be, and we all sit at the table of the household of the king, and we're called the household of the king. We live within the castle walls, and we have the insignia of the king, and we're special to that, but we're not his children. We might think that we want to get together and whisper and take over the kingdom, but the kingdom is going to be for his children. And so that mirror really is only mirroring what is with God. God has a kingdom, but he has a household, and he's created these beings to be those, you know, the Revelation talks about the 24 elders seated around the crystal sea. I believe the crystal sea is the insight into what's happening here. They're seeing and their involvement. It's like a dynasty, a dynastic thing. They are included in his kingdom, and yet they'll not be a blood bought like we are. They'll be of his household, but they won't be his children. Does that make sense? And yet God gives us the privilege of being his children. Wow. They are part of his ruling council. We see in Revelation chapters 4 and 5, Revelation 3, 21, Revelation 2, 26, where God is speaking to the churches, the seven churches of Asia. And he says, those of you that overcome, you are going to sit with me. You are going to rule and reign with me. And of course, that overcoming isn't you have more works than I have, or you make it through the whole tribulation period, or, you know, that's a lot of people interpret that in a lot of different ways. But how do we overcome? We only overcome through the blood. That's it. We only overcome when we stand before God and we're naked before him, but we hold up what we have. We hold up Jesus Christ. And we overcome because that's what we held on to. By the way, if you say, I've got Jesus and my works, you're not an overcomer. You're believing a false gospel. You think that you are as gods. But if you just hold on to the one that is most high, that sits at the right hand of God, and you say, his blood has made me yours, O God. I'm your child. And that's all you've got. And that is all you've got. Then you've overcome this world. You understand who you are and whose you are. I got less than 10 minutes. So Galatians 3:19, 1 Peter 3:21 and 22. 1 Kings 22. Let's go to that one. You got to see this one. For 1 Kings 22. I'm not reading all these scriptures, but man, you got to go to this 1 Kings 22. Go to verse 13, and this is the prophet Micaiah, whom, you know, Jehoshaphat is king over Judah, Ahab is king over Israel, the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes, the northern tribes and the southern tribes, and Micaiah is saying, you're going to lose, man, don't do this, and the king is saying, this guy's always against me, man, he never prophesies for me, he always prophesies against me, and watch what I think Jehoshaphat says here. Verse 19, and he, the king, said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. Do you see what he's seeing? Do you understand what the king is seeing? He sees the Lord seated on his throne, and all the host of heaven there on his right and on his left. That's what the king is seeing. And the Lord said, this is what he heard the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said, this is an angel, this is a B'nai Elohim, on this manner, and another said on that manner. So there's a council of angels seated with God, and God says, what shall we do to convince Ahab? And the council's together, and one stands and says this, and one stands and says the other. What an elevated place these angels have, that God would love them and ask them and converse with them. We talk about the whole council of God. Now, that doesn't mean that these people are God. They're created by God. It doesn't mean that they can't fail. They can fall, ultimately, and altogether. And there came forth a spirit and said before the Lord, and stood before the Lord, and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord, and the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Wow. Wow. Do you see that in the dealing with nations and kings elect, like what we're going through right now, that God knows exactly what's going on? That the loyal councils of heaven are discussing these things, and they're not discussing these things because God needs an idea. Okay? When I'm with my sons and I go, guys, what do you want to do when we go camping this week? I've determined we're going camping this week. I know what we're going to do. We're probably going to cook meat, right? But I know that. But I ask that, what do you want to do? And then one of them says, hey, let's cook meat. And I go, great. Right? Because I'm the dad. I've already thought of it. I take them to the store and I say, hey, guys, you want to go to the store and I'll get you something? Sure. And I say, what would you like? I already know better than what they would like. And I'm already going to get them better than what they want. Right? So just shutty. You know? I already know at the end we're getting Slurpees. But I say, what do you guys want? And they go, Slurpees! And I'm like, trained them right. I know they're loyal to that. Right? When I was sick and down, my boys would bring me a Slurpee. Right? Why? Because we're of the household. These angels are of his household here. Isn't that interesting? I got all these scriptures. This is all through the scriptures, by the way, of what's going on in heaven. Now, Revelation can't be understood unless you read Revelation. Some things are happening in heaven, and some things are happening in earth. But they're divinely intertwined, because that's how we're going to be forevermore. Glory. 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 Now, I can't give it all, but let me close this by saying this. You are to be included in this divine council. It's as though these angels are going to give up their seats for the redeemed. And you and I are going to take that place around that table and rule and reign with him for whatever comes next, for all of eternity. And the loyal angels will stand up as knights behind us. They'll still be part of the household. We'll know them. We'll get along. But they'll be in their place and we'll be in our place. Remember that they fell out of their place. They left their first estate, what they were supposed to be, the fallen ones. But the loyal ones have seen through and have said, we're lucky to be created. We're lucky to be at the table for his kinship of his redeemed. And then we're going to stand there and stand with him forevermore with these redeemed. Wow. Man. Do you know I'm nothing? You go back in my history and my family were vagabonds. My great-grandfather was shot in a bank robbery. He was the driver. What I'm saying is I got no royal blood in me. But my God is going to seat me at his table and include me, take my place in a republican form of government where he is king and I get to sit as an elder and angels attend unto me. That's all in redemption, man. And so I'm involved in politics. I love it. And when the politics season goes, I just move on to football. And when football fails me, I just move on to basketball, move on to gardening, move on to whatever, baking, you know, whatever's next, move on. Because I got the joy of the Lord in my life and I understand who I am and whose I am. I am who he says I am. And this is a reality now. I have this resurrection identity now. It's in me now. It's why the Pharisees and the demons wanted to kill Lazarus. Because Lazarus got to die and come back. And he knew. And so he was going to live his life in such a way as, get out of my way. Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm going to tell everybody, and I don't care what the rules down here are. And they wanted to kill him. He had resurrection power. He started to live it. And you and I have got that now. We don't have to have some death experience. We got it now. We got to know that in our minds and live that. And it makes us walk and talk as one that has authority. And people don't get it. They don't understand. They don't know. And yet it's powerful and it's effective. And so, yes, we become part of his family, his kingdom, his dynasty, above the gods. See, the devil was saying, ye shall be as gods, but he wanted us under him. when the reality is God all the while intended us to be B'nai Elohim, sons of God, but as really redeemed in the blood above those angels. Does that make sense? Does that make the battle understandable and what prophecy is happening? These angels do have a future. We're joint heirs with Christ. Therefore, you are an object of an unseen war, a political election of sorts, that angels, fallen and faithful, have been created for. This war is like unto World War I and II and eventually World War III, where the horrors come in echelon and get worse. Revelation is literal. It's real. Just as a stage is set on earth for battle, so is it set in the heavens. You mean to tell me that I'm to sit with elders in heaven? Yes. But I'm just a worker in a hardware store. I work on the plumber's aisle. Exactly. That is why the devils rebelled. They thought they could rule you. But I could never in a million years be worthy of that. Exactly. And that is why the devils accuse you constantly. You save them, God, but they still falter and they still doubt you and curse you at times. But God is good. But any devil could just overrun me if they wanted to. Exactly. But that's why you have a guardian angel, a principality and a power that can stand up to them in ways that maybe you don't know how to stand up to them. Now, I've done you a privilege by showing you who you are and whose you are in the ethereal world that you're swimming in even right now and how things are going to be in the future. Angels have a future, and they're fighting for their future, and they're fighting for their future, and you are their battlefield. So I've done you a blessing, but I might have also done you a cursing, because now that you know, you have to get in the fight. Now that you know, you're not an ignorant pawn, you've become a wise bishop. And your play is important now amongst your family, on your block, amongst your co-workers. Amen. God has now spanked the angels in Psalm 82 for not doing what they were supposed to do, but he could very easily say the same things to us and say, why are you not doing the things that you're supposed to do? Whoa. And so, Jesus Christ is Lord, and he has a plan for you and me. Those angels have a future, but we have a future that includes them, that is above them, that they're fighting, the fallen ones are fighting against us in this world, but the loyal ones are fighting for us. In the Bible, we have sometimes they come and interact with us, and we see them, and the Bible says, be aware that sometimes you don't entertain angels unaware. I think we should respect them. Not fear them, but we should respect them. We should be grateful for them. We should thank God for them. There's been times I've been driving 50 miles an hour and I couldn't see because it was raining and snowing and everything else, and there's cars on the side and I'm still driving in my four-wheel drive. And I'm saying, Lord, if I have a guardian angel, put him on the top of the truck right now, because I'm not even sure where the road is, right? But more than that, God, right now I'm feeling the fiery darts of the wicked. And right now the doubts have hit my mind, and right now fear has hit my soul. And God says, don't worry, there's an armor bearer that's right there, and he's helping you put on the helmet of salvation. I'm saved. The breastplate of righteousness. I'm right. Your loins girt about with true. I'm true to God. Your feet prepared. Right? Your shield of faith, your sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so you've got an armor bearer that's there with you and for you in this angel to be respected, to share the future with. You can't be of the household and abuse the help. If you're of the household, you respect the Father's setup, not only in his time, but in his order as well. Can I tell you, one day there will be a new world order. There will be one king on the earth, and there will be people ruling and reigning in it. Hallelujah. That's going to come. But before that comes, a counterfeit's going to try to come and execute that. And we ain't going to be about that at all. You can take my body, but you can't take my soul. And I'll have a resurrected body anyways one day. And all God's people said, If you're here or if you're listening and you're not saved, repent and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what he wants you today. Turn in your sorrow over your sin. Turn it up to God. He died. That's why he died on the cross for you. And he'll save you surely today. Yes, you. And then you can enter into this wonderful plan. And no matter what's going on in the world today, realize God knows what's going on. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you. Sometimes we wonder if there's adults in Washington. Sometimes we wonder who's calling the shots and how things are going. Sometimes we fear and fear for ourselves. But God, ultimately, you are on the throne of heaven. We realize we are a part of this, and it's not just politically charged on earth, but Lord, it's spiritually charged in the very heavens. But God, the kingdom of God is within us through Jesus Christ. The light of the world is in us. And so God, I pray that you'd help us to see who we are and whose we are. And Lord, as we go into the future, have no fear, Father. As the angels do their part, help us to do ours. We love you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. On the rapture and the signs of the rapture. So come back tonight. We'll see you tonight.